All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. I join you guys after a weekend of taking some time off for the Jags and watching an actual good football team, the Orlando Apollos of the AAF. And I know my co-host, Chris Thornton, who you can find on Twitter at MistoChristopho, is also an Orlando Apollos fan. Chris, I mean, that was some of the best football we've seen in the past year, wasn't it?
It's nice to see some competent football come out of the state of Florida professionally. So, go Apollos, 1-0 baby. We're going for that championship.
First ever sack by the Orlando Apollos was done by none other than former Jaguars defensive end slash linebacker slash kind of hybrid guy, Ryan Davis. He was a fan favorite here for a little bit. Cool to see him getting kind of a second chance at playing, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He even did the selfie celebration, I believe. So some, you know, old habits, I guess, die hard. But it was nice to see him. It was nice to see him having fun out there and, you know, playing some really good football.
Now, speaking of linebackers, today we're going to continue our roster breakdown series. Breaking down the Jaguars roster position by position, we've gotten all the way through defensive line. We did the entire offense over the past week and a half, and now we are on to the linebackers. And we were happy to talk about the defense because that typically meant that things were a little bit better. And it definitely was on the defensive line front, and now we're back to bad with the linebackers. Three starters at the position, even though one of them doesn't play nearly as much as the other two. And it being Telvin Smith at weak side linebacker, Miles Jack at middle, and Leon Jacobs at strong. And strong only gets about 30% of the snaps, but we'll still talk about his rookie year. But the expectations were really high going into the year. Last year, Telvin Smith signed a big extension, which he restructured relatively quickly after the season ended for them to be able to go spend money on guys like Andrew Norwell. But the expectations were high nonetheless for him as a captain of the defense, the guy who took the podium every week. Miles Jack as well, to grow upon his role even more after what was a pretty impressive year at middle linebacker after Paul Posluszny got moved to the strong side. Both of them had great 2017 years while the defense was clicking. And, you know, Leon Jacobs, the expectations weren't too high because, like I said, it's a position that doesn't play a ton. He was a rookie, seventh round pick, or was he a sixth? One or the other came in. Sixth. And he competed with some guys that were already in-house who were considered to be favored for the position, Donald Payne and Blair Brown. And he won the job right out of training camp, looked really athletic. Ability to rush the passer from their 4-3 under front at strong side linebacker. He just seemed like a fit. The expectations at that position, I mean, everyone talks about the pass rush and the secondary, but we thought we had some studs there, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, and I still think there's hope to salvage this defense. Telvin obviously having kind of a down year in the defense, but I don't think Miles Jack is a middle linebacker. I think he played his best outside when used correctly, and I still think he should go back out there. So I think they need to, maybe in this draft, maybe free agency, I don't know what you do, target a true middle linebacker. Because although I'm not saying that Miles doesn't have like the leadership ability and like the smarts to be able to lead a defense from the middle linebacker spot, I just don't think that's where his best position on the field is. So push him back outside because he's pretty good in coverage. He's crazy athletic, so he can, you know, chase guys down if he needs to. He can just go anywhere on the field that he needs to go. And I think you need to put him back out there and get somebody in the middle to kind of be that, you know, that kind of run stopper in the middle if you need him. But just let Miles go outside and kind of just allow him to use his crazy kind of rangy athletic abilities.
See, I still have hope for him at middle. However, I see your point and I understand it, and we'll definitely talk about it in the third segment, because I do think that there's a way that you can make both happen in this draft or this offseason. But when we come back, we're going to talk about exactly what did happen with the Jaguars linebackers, because with such high expectations, safe to say everyone came away a little bit disappointed. So the Jaguars linebacker core, with the expectations that were set, just really, really had a down year. I mean, Chris, you got the PFF stats, so you can run us through it. Their run unit as a whole was not that great this year. Even though it saw improvement near the end of 2017, it did not look that great. And while the defense still played well against the pass, the linebackers were what hurt the Jaguars in the pass game the most. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to the scheme. that I'm not a fan of running so heavily. It hurts the linebackers when they don't have an additional blitzer, because the quick passing game, West Coast offenses would thrive against the Jaguars because there's not enough pressure and the quarterbacks can get the ball out quickly with guys playing so far off into zones. And while that inflates the stats a little bit on the linebackers, it goes to show how much they were running it and how much they struggle with running so much zone. So Chris, give us a look as to how they looked in coverage this past year, as well as one big issue was missed tackles.
Yeah. First of all, in just kind of going from a coverage standpoint, Telvin Smith was the second highest targeted defender on the team, only behind Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey was targeted 97 times this year for 749 yards. But Telvin Smith is right behind him. He was targeted 80 times for just under 600 yards. So he's getting targeted almost as much as a cornerback, which that kind of screams something for me. Because obviously they're seeing something there that they want to keep attacking it. He let up just under 600 yards, and he let up 3 touchdowns. So quarterbacks had almost a 100 passer rating when targeting Telvin Smith in coverage this year.
Yikes.
And if you want to compare, now those numbers sound really bad, but if you want to shift to Miles Jack, although he wasn't targeted as much, he was targeted about half as much as Telvin and let up about half as the amount of yards. So coverage-wise, they were both as liable. Miles was also almost a 100 when targeted against in coverage. So Telvin Smith was targeted 80 times or he let up 61 receptions for 591 yards and 3 touchdowns, which comes out to about 9.7 yards per reception. Whereas Miles Jack was targeted or let up 37 receptions, let up 370 yards, and 1 touchdown for even 10 yards per reception. So both linebackers, when targeted in coverage, were letting up either a first down or just under a first down, which is not good. So I don't want to attest that to the players, because I think both are athletic enough to be able to stay in coverage. I think it's the scheme's fault for the most part for both these guys, I think, taking a step back this year.
Yeah, I definitely think it hurts, and that's why I've been not so much a fan of Todd Wash, is that these guys are susceptible to getting targeted like cornerbacks out there when they're playing so far off. And, you know, as great as the pressure is from this pass rush, when you're only sending 4, quarterbacks know what's coming and they get the ball out quickly. So when you got these guys dropping back into deep zones, the underneath opens right up. Yeah. I'm curious to see, because I do want to talk about their their missed tackles, because I do think it was an issue, but so you said they allowed a first down or close to a first down average per play, reception. Mm-hmm. But I mean, how did their, and this is because I haven't looked, how did their yards after the catch look? Because I'm pretty sure that there's a number on there.
So, out of 591 reception yards that Telvin allowed, 431 of them were after the catch. And compared to Miles Jack, he let up 370 yards and let up 201 after the catch.
So I'm curious how we can dissect that, because if it wasn't much coming after the catch, then that gave you a good idea is that they can tackle pretty well, but obviously that's not the case. And I think it could be a mix of how far off in zones they were, which is, again, a schematic thing, but you've got the missed tackle numbers too.
Yes. So Telvin Smith leads the team at the end of the year with missed tackles with 21. So breaks the
20s.
Miles Jack is second with 12. So the linebackers leading the team. The next after that is 7 by Unique, 6 by Tashawn, 5 by AJ, 5 by Calais, 4 by Jalen, so on. So a significant increase from the kind of middle bottom of the pack to Telvin Smith and Miles Jack, who are the only ones that hit double digits in missed tackles.
I don't think 12 is any good, but geez, 21 is awful. That's awful.
I'm gonna look up, actually, while we keep talking, I'm going to look up where that ranks in the NFL.
I'm sure it's near the top. I mean, at the end of the day, that's just such a miserable number. And I think that's what happens when you bring in these guys that aren't thumpers.
Yep.
Like
Smith was second in the NFL amongst linebackers with missed tackles.
Jeez.
Only behind Joe Schobert of Cleveland.
And I wonder how much of that came against the run as well. I'm sure they don't really break that down like that, but that's something that we could talk about in our next segment with how they can address the linebacker position is maybe bring in a guy that is more of a thumper. He's not as much a coverage guy because you've got these two guys who are insane athletes who should be better off in pass coverage. Maybe not as strong against the run because they don't have the size and strength to come down and play it as hard shooting gaps as some the thumping early down linebackers that you see. So maybe bringing in one guy that has experience at Mike and Will to rotate with Miles and Telvin to play the rundowns. That might get, and you still keep one of those athletic guys on the field, but you've also got more of a true green dot who can come down and play like that. So I don't know. That's something we could talk about in our next segment, which comes up right after these messages. Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is brought to you by A1 Sliders. Are you one of hundreds of coastal Northeast Florida homeowners who struggle every day to open and close your sliding glass door? Why spend all the money it takes to replace your sliding glass door when Tony and the gang at A1 Sliders could save you money and repair your door for you? A1 Sliders is licensed and insured. They offer free estimates, upfront pricing, and will help you save on heating and cooling costs in your home from leaky sliding glass doors. And at A1, your schedule comes first. A1 Sliders is a fan of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and in partnering with us, they will give you $25 off of any repair you order, no limit. Just mention Locked On Jaguars before getting your repairs done. Call A1 Sliders now for your free sliding glass door repair estimate at 386-538-6835. Or check out their website at www.a1sliders.com. That's 386-538-6835 and www.a1sliders.com. And don't forget to mention Locked On Jaguars for $25 off of any repair you order. A1 Sliders, licensed and insured, LLC, covers the Jacksonville area from Fernandina Beach through New Smyrna Beach, based out of Palm Coast, Florida. Contact for more details on location and any questions you may have. So, Chris, would you be in favor of the Jaguars definitely adding an early down linebacker this offseason? Because I'm all for that if the price is right or if the draft pick is right, which I think would be a day three pick.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you can kind of talk yourself into that if the price is right. But I do think that is something that they need to address sooner than later. The last year, it didn't look like this team had a lot of holes. And then coming after this past season, there seems to be a lot more prevalent holes than we might have overlooked. I think we, as a fan base, maybe kind of got a little caught up into it and all that. But there's more holes that seem to be opening up as the days go by, whether that be through cuts and whatnot. But I think linebacker is definitely a need that they need to address. And you can find these guys in day three that, you know, can play that middle linebacker and you can kind of develop them up, because I still think Telvin and Miles are good linebackers. I think you still have a top 15 linebacking core with them. And I think you just have to change the scheme, and then it allows you to kind of maybe fit in a rookie like Leon Jacobs, who missed most of the year with injury, who can maybe a guy like Nick DeLuca, who came in towards it at the end of the year and is actually playing really good football. So I think the guys that you have there allow you that kind of flexibility to maybe bring somebody in and bring them along slower if you can change the scheme to where they wouldn't be immediately the weak link on the defense.
And I know that there's guys out there that are true early down guys. Like in today's NFL, you want to add those athletic guys that you develop more as a coverage guy rather than a run stopper, because the pass game is everything, right? Those are the guys that separate themselves at the top. Guys that can do it all but are so athletic that you trust them doing anything in coverage, which is going to move those less athletic but pure run stuffing guys down. Like, there's Deshaun Davis, who was essentially viewed as the second defensive coordinator on Auburn's defense. That's what he was kind of known for. He would literally call the plays, but he's kind of stiff. He's a guy that's much better coming down and shooting gaps and playing the run and making big hits rather than dropping back into coverage and making big plays and, you know, locking down zones. That's just not his thing because he doesn't have the athleticism, and he's probably going to be a day three pick.
So he'd almost kind of be like your Pozlesny 2.0 in this defense.
Essentially, and I think he's more athletic in terms of pure speed than Pozlesny was at the end of his career, which is what you want, because I was not a fan of Pozlesny, but I think that's a role that you can fit him into. You know, a first down, maybe second down, depending on distance. A guy that's got a great football IQ, and, you know, is good enough to come down and not miss tackles and play with power to stop the run game. And then there's also, like, there's free agents that, I mean, you want a guy with high football IQ as well, so they're not missing things.
Yeah.
I think that's incredibly important out of what type of linebacker you're trying to get to diagnose the run. There's guys out there in free agency that could do that. Thomas Davis isn't getting brought back by Carolina. And granted, he's a little bit older. He's almost 36. But he's, I mean, 6'1", 235. Mm-hmm. He is still playing at a pretty solid level for someone as old as he is. I mean, he's one of the he's been one of the better linebackers in the NFL during his career. And, I mean, maybe that's a guy you bring in on a one-year deal just to kind of, you know, work with Miles at middle linebacker, work with Telvin at weak side, have him play the early downs because he's not athletic as he used to be, let him play against the run. He only had 7 missed tackles this past year, which, I mean, is a lot better than 12 and a lot better than 21. Mm-hmm. And if you got him in on early downs, I mean, you're going to see that number go down. You have him truly playing the run. He's a smart presence on the football field with a ton of experience that could help these guys.
Yeah, and, I mean, just looking at quick stats, he would. I think he would be our highest-rated linebacker if you would have taken 2018 Thomas Davis and put him on the Jaguars. So an upgrade probably in the middle. And like you said, you don't need him for a long time. He's on, I think when the season comes up, he'll be 36. So you're not drafting him for the long term, obviously. You're drafting him for 1-2 years max, and you're cutting bait. So
you can draft a guy too, like a 6th-round pick at linebacker that's the same style, but have Thomas Davis in there as well and develop that guy to take over for Davis after a year or two. So,
I mean, do you get a Deshaun and then a Thomas Davis?
I feel like that's a pretty good rumor. How much is Blair Brown really doing for this defense at this point, where you could probably, you know, let him go and bring on Davis as a pick? No, Davis is a signing. Well, both Davises. I mean, they're both Davises.
Yeah.
Thomas Davis is a signing and keep an extra roster spot for a rookie. And, I mean, you take away, what, one of the nose tackles because they had 3 or 4?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, you can, on offense, you get rid of the fullback or something like that.
You can trim a roster spot if you need to. I mean, even if you go to, like, the linebacker group. You had 1, 2, 3, 4. You had 5 play last year. So let's say they get rid of like a Blair Brown who played 5 total snaps this year. And then so you replace Blair Brown with a Thomas Davis, and then you have a bunch of guys like I don't think they'd cut Laurente McCray, but you know, you have
DeLuca probably. I mean,
yeah. They'll probably stash him back to the practice squad. And that makes that makes sense. You have a lot of cornerbacks. I think they like their group, though. But there's areas that they can trim. And especially since you're going to have guys probably getting cut. So maybe you will naturally make a spot that somebody will work in. But I think that's definitely a solid route. If they went Thomas Davis in free agency and then got like a Deshaun Davis in the draft, I think that's a pretty good, you know, short-term and long-term fix to your linebacker in the middle. Your linebacker.
So you still have your real athletic guys, and you hope that with changing the scheme around and making things more versatile, that they can do some more in coverage, and pair that with these run key guys that can come down and play the run a lot better than your two real athletic ones. And suddenly you've got a real versatile, experienced, as well as, you know, some youth potential in your linebacker core. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be the best thing to do. And you can never have enough good ones. I mean, one of the maybe someone becomes Trey Bate at some point.
This is going on the fact that we have our current slate of draft picks. Imagine if you can trade some of these guys that we're maybe going to cut for those later round picks. Now you don't even feel bad about drafting a linebacker or two if they plan on moving a surprise move or something like that. So if you can rack up some day 3 picks, then I think that makes this drafting a linebacker that much more real of a possibility.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode of Locked On Jaguars, breaking down the linebacker position. Next up, actually, before we get to cornerbacks, I'm going to be having Ole Udoh, draft prospect out of Elon University, who was a shining light down at the Shrine game, really played well, cool story, got promoted to the Senior Bowl, played pretty well there as well, kind of touted as a day 3 prospect with a ton of potential at right tackle. He will be joining me for an interview that should be out on Tuesday morning. So be sure to keep your eyes peeled for that. And we will catch up with you guys next time.